Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, reacting all show long to a 34-31 Titans win last night against the Buffalo Bills on Monday Night Football. Joe, we'll get a little bit more into this later in the hour. That was one of the best games at Nissan Stadium that I can remember in a long time. That was a fun one to watch, I'm sure, in the crowd, a fun one to be a part of last night. And that's probably a game we'll talk about for a long time, the Titans' performance on Monday Night Football against the Bills. That was pretty special stuff last night at Nissan Stadium.
Yeah. I mean, even for just the general NFL fan, I don't know what the feeling was about this game. I think a lot of people thought it was going to be a convincing Buffalo win, but it was a classic. And it was a great game for the general football fan. And, yeah, in that stadium, I know A.J. Brown was talking after. A.J. Brown was saying a lot of stuff, which we'll have to get into his exploits with various fast food chains. Yeah. But he said top two, and he mentioned the Kansas City win from 2 years ago, which, of course, was also kind of a huge moment for that team, vaulting that team much later in the season. But I thought about the Eagles win from 2018 when they were great and Carson Wentz was great. But there's probably some that aren't coming to mind off the top of the head too. But, yeah, I mean, that one is
– it's Lions not just game that it last was, year.
Well, I mean, you also think about the – yeah. You also think about, like, the Chargers, which I think – wasn't that – no, wait a minute. I get them mixed up. Wesley Woodyard forced a fumble in one of those goal line stands. Jeffrey Simmons, as a rookie,
that's one Jeffrey Simmons blew up. The Chargers
blew up. So, you know, but like this game was great start to finish. It was great players on display making plays. And again, you're talking number one scoring D, number one total D. Couldn't get a stop. And how many teams are going to do that to the Bills this year? I don't know.
It was a heck of a game last night, and even more so when you think about the injury situation. We'll get a little bit more into that here in just a second, but I'm looking at the text line right now, and I can't believe I've not brought this up yet. The texter says, what about the Music City Miracle 2.0? God, I wish they would have executed that play perfectly because it would have been the greatest thing ever. I don't know if that was a troll job by Mike Vrabel in terms of just trying that play in this game specifically. But I choose to believe that it was, and if it would have worked, which, by the way, had they executed that properly, they broke it down on the broadcast, there's nobody on that side of the field. Like, they would have had to make one person miss. Like, Chris Jackson would have had to make one guy miss, and that would have been a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there was some, you know, with Vrabel, I'm sure there was a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek thing there, right?
Oh, yeah.
A little bit. You know, meanwhile, the Bills executed the, I guess it's the Billy special.
Yeah, it was
perfectly
pretty good.
Got that done.
Even when Dawson Knox didn't have a healthy hand to throw the ball at the time, apparently, still got it off. He pushed it.
Yeah. You could have neat head butted that to him.
You could have.
But yeah, that was. By the way, did I have this right? I saw this on Twitter, and I'm like, wait a minute, is this like something old? Did Adam Schefter actually last night continue his like misinformation campaign about the Music City Miracle?
Yeah.
What the heck is
and
wrong
then they
with
showed
that?
Like the play right after?
Like, dude, here, like, watch it.
It's like a yard and a half lateral. It's really not. I don't understand Bills fans. Like, just watch the play.
Well, you know what?
It's not close.
There are some irrational fans in fan bases.
Yes.
Okay.
We've seen
this. Doesn't mean they represent everyone. But there are some. But a dude who works for ESPN, who's supposed to be one of the most respected reporters covering the NFL, is continuing to not just look at bare facts. What? Like, what is wrong with you?
A lot of stuff going on with Adam Schefter lately.
Jeez. Yeah, I mean, maybe like this latest thing, maybe you back off like the dumb thing that you've been claiming for 20 years.
Maybe
it's just weird.
Let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Westbrook Akina was big last night when Julio was out and they needed a second option. He stepped up to keep drives moving. There's a lot of love for Westbrook Akina last night.
Well, those were big plays.
They were.
Those really were big plays. And three on that drive. By the way, on Twitter, good job, Ben, at Ben Wilkins. And I was going to actually bring this up. I want to read the headline of my column from a week ago.
Okay.
Rex Road, : Titans aren't up for what's next unless Derrick Henry can play defense too. And, of course. And by the way, and I did have a line, which the line was basically like, they have no chance coming up here. Yeah. And I said, save those words and weaponize them later if you like. Well, Ben is weaponizing them.
There you go, Ben.
Good job, Ben. Hey. You gotta. Hey, you know what? You put yourself out there. It's only fair.
Yeah.
But you know what? I did think about this. What, Michelle got this right? She picked the Titans, right? I did think about this.
Guess I did, guys.
Yeah. Nice job. Now, did you pick them to outright win? I know you took the.
No, I didn't pick them to outright win.
You didn't say that they were going to outright win. I heard Chris Sanders say on the pregame show he had a feeling. I was like, you know, this is classic Titans up and win this game, right? Yeah. Just thought the Bills were too good for that. But no, they're not.
Apparently not. The injuries yesterday. So, I mean, think about going into the game. We know how many injuries they've been dealing with. Christian Fulton can't play yesterday. And then in the game yesterday, you lose Caleb Farley. You lose Taylor Lewan. You lose Chris Jackson for stretches of time in the secondary as well. You lose Julio Jones at the end of the game. Like, it's pretty incredible that this team has been able to fight through that, especially in the game yesterday, and find a way to win that game with the injuries that they've sustained. You know, obviously it's concerning moving forward here, and if you missed it, looks like Caleb Farley could have an ACL injury and might be out for the rest of the season. Looks like Cam Batson, according to Paul Kaharski, could be out the rest of the season as well. So, you know, the losses continue to pile up, and eventually, like, that catches up with you at some point. But the fact that they're 4-2, even with a loss to the Jets in there, which is amazing to think about, this team could be 5-1 right now with the injury situation that they have. It's pretty incredible.
Well, and that's the thing I said earlier. You can get greedy, look at this, and say, hey, you right now, well, the Ravens would be the one seed, but long way to go, but you have a tiebreaker over the Bills. You have a chance with the Chiefs coming in, right? And you also may, in the end, look back on that Jets loss and,
yep,
you know. But – as long as, I guess, if you're not looking back and ruining that, costing you the division, it's not that big. But I mean, think about how big a deal it is to actually be the one team to get a bye in the playoffs. I know it's like you go from, do they have any chance in this game, to can they get the bye? It doesn't take, you know, it doesn't take long in this league to just go toggle back and forth. I mean, the seesaw, the roller coaster with this team. Pretty remarkable.
Well, we should have seen this coming. Anytime you can get a win and propel yourself over an Urban Meyer coach football team, that's some big momentum that you generate the rest of the year.
That is a fair point. Urban Meyer, who's on a win streak.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Yes, he is.
Second best team in Florida.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Obviously, the game plan was to go after Molden and Farley. What's your opinion on the play of Molden? With both Farley and Fulton out, who starts at corner for the Titans? I've been pretty impressed by the response of Molden the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
You know, he's not been perfect, but I think, you know, the first 2 weeks, and obviously the Titans felt the same way, he looked lost out there. And I feel like he's come back in and has played much better since then.
Well, and I think a lot of people looked at the Beasley touchdown. You know, like, he wasn't in man. And by the way, the Titans were so rarely in man last night.
Yep.
I'd love to see the breakdown of how much, you know, zone man they played. They obviously play a lot of both anyway. But, I mean, that it was the same kind of thing as last year. You know, try to get pressure on him and play a ton of zone behind it. And the thing is, if you play man against a running quarterback like that, then you could really be in trouble. But he was in – that was a zone look. And I think that was Jenkins – right, who messed up.
Yep.
So that wasn't on Molden. I don't think he really gave up much last night through the air, did he?
I don't think so.
I can't recall, like, much of that. They use him a lot on run blitzes, and you know he had eight tackles. He was third on the team with eight tackles, had one TFL. I think he's fine, and he's going to keep growing. I think you're going to be fine with him. You know, it's going to be Jenkins, and then
they're going to have to go get somebody, right?
They're going to have to go get somebody, absolutely. And it's one of those things, too, what we don't know, like with Fulton, is it just going to be the 3-week IR? You know, is he going to be good to go then?
Yeah.
Or is it potentially longer? That's part of the – but, yeah, like, and then the question, like Chris Jackson, what's up with the foot? He's had various things. Like, but I would – right now, I think – I mean, they have a lot of trust in Chris Jackson, but I think it probably would be Borders. Borders, Jenkins, Molden with, ideally, Chris Jackson – as your fourth guy, then you got to go get a fifth corner.
Yeah.
For now.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Play silly underdog picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win. Go to thegamenashville.com for more details and to play silly underdog picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Reacting to a big win for the Tennessee Titans last night, 34-31. Joe Rexroad powering through today on 40 minutes of sleep. That's impressive stuff, my friend.
Who said I look like I wake and baked?
Somebody on YouTube.
Mark on YouTube.
Man, I could use a breakfast burrito. I'll tell you that, though.
Maybe we can get something figured out for you. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Adam from Portland. Adam, what's going on, man?
Hey, man, so coaching last night looked so much better, didn't it? Like, I'm sitting here looking clear across the board. The line, it looked like they did something with Tannehill, getting him out of the pocket a whole lot more. Defensively, they were even calling it out, breaking down some of the stuff they were doing defensively to help, you know, our weak secondary out. And then special teams, man, good returns, good coverage, good punts, good kicks. It seemed like historically Vrabel, when he has that extra day, seems to coach his guys up a lot better. And I think clear across the coaching staff, a lot of good individual performances, but the coaching was like noticeably good yesterday.
Hey, thanks for the call, Adam. We appreciate it. I mean, I thought a pretty well coached game, obviously, for the Titans. You know, a lot of Bills fans pointing to the kick return by Isaiah McKenzie, the end of the game that he brought all the way back for a touchdown. I mean, it was. There were, I thought, two pretty obvious holds on that play.
Well,
they called one of them.
There was a block in the back,
yeah.
That was so blatant. They called the hold. I don't know if they were, but yeah, there were multiple fouls on the play. And yeah, Randy Bullock gets in there and draws a penalty. I'm glad Adam brought that up on coaching. You know, I think Vrabel, like anybody, but not a ton, you know, has a message sometimes in what he's saying.
Yeah.
Like, you know, for example, when he was asked about Tyson Brown last week, oh, yeah, no, not surprised, no big deal, whatever. Pretty ticked off at Tyson Brown. It would be my – like, that's how I would diagnose it. But he was asked about the goal line play, okay? And Vrabel is a huge – he says this all the time. It's players, not plays. Players, not plays. You can scheme it, whatever. Players make plays, which is still, to me, the bottom line of last night. A lot of these players, they rose up and made big plays. But Vrabel says on the Simmons thing, quote, give our guys credit, give our staff credit. They tried to walk into one. That's the Bills with the QB sneak. Our guys adjusted quickly without hesitation, very, very well prepared for that. They were able to execute. Obviously, the players are the ones that were able to get the push and the penetration. But to me, when he said that, I'm like, that's a little bit of a answer to people who were saying like Shane Bowen stinks, yeah. And you know, defensive staffs know what they're doing, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, look, I agree that last night was a great coaching night. The players still make it happen. And I'm still, like, even with the defensive struggles, I think it's been more – I've said it, I'll say it a million times until I get – you know, maybe I'm wrong, but I think it's more personnel than coaching. But still, you go from Dean Pease to whoever, you're probably going to have a step down, and we can see some weeks that, like, it's just not – it's not as coordinated. It's not as good overall as it was under Dean Pease. And last night, the Titans gave up 31 points, and they were 2 yards from giving up 38 points. Yet still, I would call that a really good – effort from the defensive staff and from the players.
TD, our buddy Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter. We've talked a lot about corner today, and obviously, you know, they're going to have to make a move if Caleb Farley is out for the remainder of the season. And TD's got a target in mind that he wants to see the Titans pursue. Cam Dantzler, cornerback, and TD tweeted this 5 hours ago, so good on TD. He says, quote, Cam Dantzler is a cornerback that I would target via trade if I'm the Titans. At 6'2", 190, Dantzler is a long cornerback that fell out of favor with the Vikings and is buried on the depth chart. Former third-round pick, 89th overall in 2020, has match man skills, teammate of Jeffrey Simmons at Mississippi State.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought.
TD's always got his eyes on the talent around the league.
That's right. And has he also, you know, he texted me, you know, another thing to keep in mind is Chris Jones will be elevated. Yep. Don't know a ton about him. He's been around and stuff like that, but, you know, he just hasn't had a lot of opportunities. But he could be elevated from the practice squad to give you, you know, depth there. But, yeah, I mean, I think the idea of going to get someone certainly makes sense right now. That's not a bad thought.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Steve from the Borough texting in. What do you guys think of David Long Jr.'s play? It seemed like they were calling his name every single play. I thought David Long Jr., for the most part last night, pretty darn good, pretty darn impressive for the Titans. And as Corey Curtis said a couple of weeks ago here on the show, he just finds a way to be around the ball. 14 tackles last night for David Long Jr., including, you know, chasing down Josh Allen a couple of times. And, you know, he continues to play well, continues to impress. It's been, when he's been healthy this year, been a pretty eye-opening how good David Long Jr. has been. I thought another impressive performance from him last night. Lewis Riddick talking about how impressive David Long Jr. was last night as well. And tell you what, I think that's a player for Titans fans to be excited about on the defensive side of the ball as they move forward here.
Yeah, well, no doubt. But I actually thought, like, Rashawn Evans had some moments.
He did.
You know, it's still – I mean, Rashawn Evans is the – you know, it's funny. So last week – as it turns out, you know, Rashawn Evans was the guy we blamed naturally for the big run by James Robinson. As it turns out, Rashawn Evans blitzed on that play, and it was Long who was supposed to be in that particular gap. So that's the problem with sometimes. Again, like a lot of people, I'm sure.
We went pro football focus on Rashawn Evans last week is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, and that's the problem. Again, a lot of people are just right now today probably think that, like, Molden screwed up the Beasley touchdown, for example. I mean, this is a problem with – and this is why – well, it's also why, like, it'd be great for clarity to be provided, like, by Vrabel, but he doesn't like to get into that stuff. But Long, that's a mistake. He makes some mistakes sometimes. Everybody makes some mistakes. You know, sometimes they're costly, but, man, he makes plays. He is all over the field. I do think last night was a positive step for Rashawn Evans. I also think that I'd like to see this defense with a healthy Jayon Brown and David Long together, if that's something the Titans would like to try, because I think that could be really interesting.
Ryan in Nashville texting in, now that Julio has his second injury, who really won the trade, the Titans or the Falcons?
Well, look, I mean, if Julio Jones – I mean, I think Corey Curtis, I agree with him, bottom line. Is Julio Jones going to be healthy, ready to go in the playoffs? We don't know this team's making the playoffs, but that's the idea.
Yeah.
Like, is he going to make a difference in January in a game, in a rematch with the Bills, in a game against the Ravens, in a game against the Chargers, you know, whatever. I mean, that's – that's what it's about. I mean, if he has like 400 – by the way, he still leads the Titans in receiving yards.
Just
know,
closing right the door on the Chiefs, huh?
Well, there's them too. The Browns, whoever you want. You know, lots of possibilities out there. The Jags, whoever, the Texans. Could get hot. Either of those teams could get on a roll. That's what it comes down to. Like, if Julio Jones, like, if the Titans win the division and Julio Jones misses half the year and he has 600 receiving yards, I mean, is that worth $15 million? No. If he has 130 in a playoff win, okay.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. It's a go-for-it move, and you don't actually go for it until you get to the playoffs.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Got a text that says, I can't believe they didn't give up any sacks against this Buffalo team. I can't either. I mean, when you think back a couple weeks ago, giving up 7 to the Jets, which, by the way, I mean, it's impressive defensive front from the Jets, but 7, you give up 3 against the Jags. You know, Chandler Jones had as many sacks as he wanted to have in week one. And then you get this Buffalo front and you don't give up any. Pretty good job by the Titans yesterday, especially losing Taylor Lewan.
Yeah, no, I mean, I did not see that coming. I think especially, you know, with Star and with Big Ed in there, I thought the interior might be where they really get – those guys did a great job. So I think one thing we did see – last night, one, Saffo gets through a game without an incident, which is pretty impressive. Yep. The guy is tough. Ben Jones without an incident. And then Nate Davis, I think, is just continuing to round into form here. So if the interior is going to be that good, and again, I mean, Questenberry had a fine game. You get Lewan back. I mean, if that front can be consistent, stay healthy, and keep playing better, man. Now you got some. Now you just hit. Then you just focus on the absolute absence of any sort of presence from the tight ends.
Yep.
Like just, I mean, there's just nothing.
Hey, good first down by Anthony Firkser last night.
He did have a catch. I mean, so Tannehill threw 25 passes last night, and 14 of them were targeted to. I mean, this is how it should be, I guess. You know, 14 of the 25 were targeted to Brown or Jones. 9 to Brown, 5 to Jones. Then Westbrook-Akina, 3 targets, 3 catches. And another stunning thing for me is like Marcus Johnson was targeted one time, had no catches. No, Chester Rogers one time, one catch.
Marcus Johnson dropped the ball, and that was it.
That's
just
right.
Done.
He dropped the early. Yeah, they had 2 drops, and A.J. Brown, I think, counts as a drop. We had some debate on that in the press box. But, yeah, I mean, and by the way, let's keep bringing it up until it happens. Darrington Evans is coming back soon.
Yeah. We think.
I think so. I think this week. That'd be my guess. They could use, you know, they could use another weapon.
They could use another weapon. I don't think there's any question about that. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans, including maybe a breakthrough with this Titans offense yesterday with a very specific player that's going to be massive for this team as they move forward here. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Titans running back Derrick Henry with a beautiful description of A.J. Brown there.
Both of those are fantastic moments, okay? One, that's Derrick Henry's best quote ever.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this after the game.
He's media
darling. Best quote
now.
Ever. He's having a blast. He's in there joking.
Yeah.
We're like, best quote ever. What was number one before?
I don't know.
Okay, that was just wow. Awesome. Two, when Kaharski asked this question, he's like, "Yeah, you guys are two-dimensional." I'm sitting next to Glennon, who immediately is like, "So he didn't see when Julio Jones had 130 yards in Seattle?" I'm like, "Yeah, right." Kaharski, what the hell? But it did feel like that. I mean, that was the other best example, right? Derrick Henry has a 60-yarder to change that game.
Yep.
But then Tannehill, I mean, in the passing game had to be – I mean, they had to come up huge, and they did. But we haven't seen – enough of it, and we haven't seen it against the number one scoring and total defense in the NFL. But it just feels like, I mean, even Seattle feels like so long ago, doesn't it?
It does. Feels like a long time ago. Feels like a few injuries ago as well for the Titans, which it is a few injuries ago. And, you know, it was funny because, you know, sometimes if you're not careful on Twitter, you can tweet a little too much during the game. And I think I was doing that last night to some degree, tweeting a little too much.
You're over-tweeting?
I was over-tweeting. And I was like, I had the tweet typed up, ready to hit send. And I was like, you know, is A.J. Brown playing in this game? It was the first half. I think he had 1 target, 0 catches. I was like, is he playing? What's going on with A.J. Brown? Then he made a catch, like, literally as I'm about to hit send. And then he finishes 7 for 91 in the second half, including a 22-yarder in there as well. Big second half for A.J. Brown. And, Joe, I think an important second half for A.J. Brown. We've talked about it. They need to get him going, and I know injuries have been a part of it. Obviously, some food poisoning, a part of the equation last night as well. Apparently, the Chipotle, I'm sure they really appreciated that last night.
So
just
amazing.
The total shot that he took at them last night in the middle of the game. But apparently, it's not been going well for A.J. Brown the last couple of days due to some issues he's been having from Chipotle. And but, hey, he fought through it. 7 catches, 91 yards.
I couldn't tweet that fast enough after he said it. That thing's got 105 retweets, 853 likes. People are, my mentions are still people screaming about Chipotle. People like, no, I like it, or no, how could you ever eat that stuff? What, how, like, if you're Chipotle, how do you respond to this?
I'm sure they don't like it.
Well, I feel like maybe you actually do go endorsement with AJ Brown.
Maybe so.
You know,
you think he would do it? I wonder which Chipotle he went to.
Yeah, I don't know, but here's the thing. It's like when a restaurant has health code violations, I'm a strong believer in this.
Yeah.
Go there the next day.
Yeah, they'll be the cleanest they've ever been.
Exactly. So you know what? Chipotle, whatever this was, the lettuce is what I
am. Yeah, you got to watch out for that.
Remember they had the E. coli breakout a couple years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watch out for that.
Sketchy on the lettuce. But, you know, to me, you take this head on, Chipotle. You don't hide. You go find A.J. Brown, and you have him eat the cleanest, most
well-cooked
disease-free
burrito
you could ever have, and you turn this into a positive in your favor.
Can you imagine what the reaction would be, like if the Titans either lost this game and A.J. Brown couldn't play
because of
Chipotle?
See, that's the thing.
Would there be a revolt in Nashville?
Well, would he have been – I mean – you know, after wins, there's more people available. After losses, there's less. There's less people who want to talk.
Yeah.
There's no open line. We may not have any idea. It may have required A.J. Brown to tweet, like, at Chipotle.
Maybe so.
And maybe he wouldn't have done that. I mean, he had to be asked, you know, who, where did you eat? So.
I love how the, I'm probably not going to get any endorsements out of this, but here, I'll tell you exactly where I was.
Hey.
Good for you, A.J. Brown.
You know what? You're making the world a better place. You got to call out stuff when you see it.
That's right. He did look a little sluggish out there in the first half last night. And, you know, Lisa Salters was talking on the broadcast last night about, you know, she talked to A.J. Brown. He's going to be ready to go, ready to play. But she did mention, yeah, he looked a little sluggish when he was talking to me. Imagine it's been a rough couple of days for A.J. Brown. Food poisoning's no joke. It's not fun.
He had two IV bags in the morning yesterday. Yeah. Then he had another bag and a half, like, right before the game. So he's just taking the fluids in, letting a lot probably exit the body as well, and finding a way to look like A.J. Brown in the second half.
Yeah, he did. And look, you know, if he can be healthy now moving forward and that hamstring isn't a problem, which, you know, he's two games now back off the hamstring.
And he said it wasn't at all.
Yeah, which is good. Obviously, I mean, and as you said, hamstrings are something you worry about, and here we are with Julio Jones again. With a hamstring injury that was re-aggravated last night. So one of those things that you worry about for sure. But if A.J. Brown is back and this was a breakthrough game for him this year, that's big for the Titans moving forward. The opportunity is going to be there on Sunday with that Kansas City defense for him to make some big plays. And quite frankly, they're going to need him to make some big plays as they go down the stretch here.
They are. And I'm going to count out Julio Jones for Sunday. I don't even know how you would even think about. You can't just keep going, come back, go out, come back, go out. So it's going to be some time, right? So count him out. You build around A.J. Brown. I mean, how much of last year was Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, and Corey Davis? But I think you get Marcus Johnson back going. I think Darrington Evans is going to be a factor. And, again, Firkser. Firkser's got to be a bigger part of this. Firkser should be making more plays. Let's also remember, it's very interesting, you know, once again, Josh Reynolds is a healthy scratch. How's he hanging in there? Because you take number two out and, you know, there could be opportunity for him, but that's obviously been a disappointment.
Yeah. Mark on YouTube, maybe AJ should have taken the number two jersey. Maybe so.
Maybe
should have let Julio have number 11.
I just said number two and I'm like, uh-oh. Easy with the number two talk. Well, 1 + 1 does equal number 2.
That is correct.
A lot of number 2 for it's number 1-1.
It's the Michigan State math right there.
Thank you.
Logan texting in, is Michelle happy about last night? I know she loves the Bills very much.
Oh, I'm so happy. I took a walk around Broadway during the day. The Bills fans were just in full force, and I was like, okay, Michelle, just stay calm, watch the game. And then, you know, the best revenge is a win.
There you go.
I just felt great. And there's all these videos now of a bunch of Bills fans. I just texted you guys one on Instagram. This guy's on a flight, and he's like, bye-bye, Bills Mafia, and the plane is, like, full of all Bills fans. So
just heading back home.
It's a great day to be alive.
Heading back home to start their work week on Wednesday.
Yeah.
In Buffalo, New York.
See, that's the real loss. Now you got to go back to Buffalo.
Exactly.
And it's almost November, which means there'll be 6 feet of snow here in a couple weeks in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Godspeed.
Well, I hope they had a good time. Spent a lot of money.
That's right. Tune into the NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. The Game of the Week this Sunday, the Philadelphia Eagles taking on the Las Vegas Raiders. Kickoff set for 3:05 on ESPN 94.9. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on the Titans. That was the best game at Nissan Stadium since when? We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join us in partnering with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Light the Night. Light the Night brings light to the darkness of cancer through hope, research, and support for patients and families. Through this inspirational nationwide movement, we raise awareness and funding for groundbreaking research and treatment options to eliminate cancer. Nashville's Light the Night will be virtual this year and take place on November the 4th. Learn more at lightthenight.org/TN. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Visit volstatebank.com to learn more about their free Kasasa checking account. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic here with you, reacting to a Titans win against the Bills. I want to point out, it was 3:20 in the morning when Joe Rexroad left the press box. And here we are at 7:46 this morning. This is your first trip to get coffee of the entire show.
Well, I came in with a double.
You did.
So I came in with a double. But
usually that doesn't matter. You could still go get some more.
Yeah, no, what's wrong? I mean, usually, what am I doing today?
Step it up, Joe. No. Come on.
Jeez. So, yeah, let me just drown myself in this for a minute.
What a game. What an atmosphere last night at Nissan Stadium. And what a performance by the Titans. 34-31, the final. Against a very, very good Buffalo Bills team. I was thinking about this kind of as the fourth quarter was going on and you knew that it was going to come down to the wire. Like, this is a really good football game. And obviously, given the quality of opponent, factoring that in as well, like, when was the last time there was this type of a game at Nissan Stadium? And the answer that did come to mind to me was the Kansas City game from a couple years ago in the regular season where the Titans were able to get some big throws from Ryan Tannehill in that game and win that game. I think that was probably the last one, but you know, even this one probably a little bit more special just because of the Monday night football aspect to it as well. The prime time at Nissan Stadium.
Right. That is a big part of it. I mean, this is the last Monday night game since 17, which was the big showdown of Mariota and Jacoby Brissett. Yeah. Mariota won?
Yeah, I get fired up about that one.
So, but, yeah, I mean, like, last year, well, that's the thing, is last year you just counted out anyway because you just didn't have that kind of atmosphere. You eventually had fans and, like, you know, pretty good. You had some crowd noise by the end there and, like, you know, in the playoff game and stuff like that. But, yeah, like, the home games last year weren't – I mean, the Steelers game was a really good game that they lost. They had the Colts game at night, which, of course, went south in a lot of different ways. Yeah, 19, the Chiefs game for sure. 18, the Eagles game definitely comes to mind. And yeah, it seems so far away, but the Eagles at the time were the defending Super Bowl champs. Yeah. And Carson Wentz was defending MVP, and he was very good then. And they found a way in overtime. Vrabel could have kicked the field goal. He went for it instead. Of course, Corey Davis gets the BT. So that one comes to mind. That was an incredible game and finish. You know, Corey Davis, everybody waiting for him to be the number 5 overall pick, and he makes that play, has a huge day. Taywan Taylor also, by the way, had a huge day. I remember that. But there aren't many like that. I mean, this one is going to be, I think, one that you remember. You remember, you know, in 17, like beating the Jags at home to get in the playoffs with the Mariota stiff arm. But, I mean, that just wasn't – I mean, you had like 15,000 empty seats that day too.
Yeah, that wasn't the most – aesthetically pleasing game either.
Right, that's the thing. This was like the Eagles game, I mean, and the Chiefs game. There's a lot of offense. Yeah. A lot of big plays on both sides.
Big E texting in on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Best game since Vince Young to Kenny Britt for the 99-yard drive game winner in 09. That was a good one.
12 years.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that one was, I believe, an afternoon game between the Titans and the Cardinals. And it ended up going into the night, but that was a fun game. Vince Young, VY, getting it done, coming up clutch to Kenny Britt. Last play of the game.
Kenny Britt was really good for
about 6 games.
For a little stretch there.
It was longer than 6 games. Maybe.
I certainly had him on some fantasy teams. Mostly disappointed.
Yeah, I would say probably so. No, just an awesome game last night. And, you know, that's the going back to the Derrick Henry discussion. That kind of factors into it as well in terms of, you know, it's a Monday night football game. The entire country is watching the Titans and Bills play. And like it or not, I mean, we watch Derrick Henry every week, so we know how good he is. You know, a lot of people just see the box score and what he's able to do. You have a performance like that on Monday night football where the entire country can watch. I mean, we've watched Good Morning Football in the studio this morning. I'm keeping an eye on Twitter. There's a whole lot of discussion this morning about Derrick Henry, and deservedly so, but I think the spotlight has to factor into it as well.
No doubt, yeah. And so you think about that atmosphere, I mean, it does remind me some of the Week 17 Sunday night game against Indy that they lost, and of course, find out that day Mariota can't go. That was also in the 2018 season. That was a pretty much full stadium full of Titans fans. Again, last night there was a Bills presence, but it was not – I don't think it was anything close to what some people expected. I say it was – I think it's about right to say 75-25. Some people thought about 30-plus Bills fans. But when the Titans made a big play or the Bills made a big play, that's when you have to try to judge it. It was not even, I mean, it was not close. It was a very powerful home crowd and environment for that team. And again, they've had what, 3 home games, and in all 3 now, it's basically been a full stadium. Yep. With a great atmosphere. The first of those crowds got treated to, should have gotten a refund. But they've all been last night's crowd, like, they got their money's worth. And then so doesn't quite make up for week one, but I mean it goes some of the way toward making up for it.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a text that says that goal line stand against the Chargers where we lost 3 or 4 times, and loss was in quotation marks, and they had to keep reviewing the spot, and eventually we got the fumble. Still the best game I've ever been to, the Chargers game from 19.
Yeah. And that was huge, and I mean, if you don't do that, you don't get in the playoffs. But you didn't know it at the time is the only thing. At the time, it was still kind of like, okay, they're fighting, they're trying to scrape and claw and stay in this thing. But this was a Monday night game against what everyone thinks is the best team in the NFL, and everyone pretty much knows you're going to be in the playoffs too. So I think the stakes and just the stage were different.
Rob texting in, my favorite home game was the playoff game against the Steelers in 2003 or so. We missed the field goal, but shot the cannon off anyway. He did not say shot. Got running into the kicker and got another shot and knocked the Steelers out of the playoffs. It was emotionally the most exhausting game I've ever been to.
Got Chipotle on the mind, huh?
Must be. autocorrect is so fun sometimes. Tom from Clarksville texting in. I know we don't get a lot of national media coverage, but did anybody else hear on the broadcast last night where they referred to Derek's long run as the longest of his career? I heard it twice from two different people during the broadcast.
What?
I must
have
missed
like
that.
Adam Schefter? It was a forward pass.
I must have missed that. I can guarantee you it was not the longest run of his career. Yeah. I know what was, and he will not have one that's longer, I can promise you.
I mean, all of the NFL wasn't watching that Titans-Jags game in 2018. I know everybody's seen the replay of the freaking run, though, right?
Well, everybody should have been watching. How do you not watch the Titans and the Jags? Right.
The division rivalry, man.
Ron texting in, the refs did more huddling than both teams together on every call. I did notice that last night. Like, there's just got to have some sort of presentation every time you huddle up about a flag. Call the penalty and move on. What are we doing out there?
Yeah, and so many of them were the result of the huddles.
Yeah.
Like, what's your call? No, I mean, it's just there are some definite themes that you carry over, too, from Saturday to within that 48-hour period. Some that you don't carry over from Saturday to Monday, but officiating frustration, definitely a theme from both games.
Does the Bills crowd factor into the environment too, the best game at Nissan State? Because, look, I mean, there probably weren't as many Bills fans in the building as I thought. There's still a lot of Bills fans in there. Does that factor into this as well in terms of adding to the experience at Nissan Stadium?
Well,
Bills Mafia can get wild.
Yeah, I mean, look, we've seen some situations there in recent years where it was kind of like almost like a bowl game. I've never seen the opposing team have more than 50% or even 50%. Some people say that they overstate it, but like certainly enough of a presence where it feels like a bowl game. You know, you got back and forth. I mean, shoot, that Eagles game I talked about in 2018. That man, Philly showed up in droves. Nashville, people are just going to show up. That's the road game they're going to take. They're going to do that road trip. So, yeah, but I thought it was a combination of there was a fun atmosphere, there was enough Bills fans that it was a presence, and, you know, it was kind of a little back and forth. But it was still, you could actually bother them on offense because you had most of the stadium.
I got multiple people texting in saying that they did call it Derrick Henry's longest run of his career last night.
I want to know who.
I mean, there's only three options.
So this is the actual broadcast. It wasn't like at halftime or post or anything like that.
No, they're saying either Greasy, Riddick, or Levy.
Well, it's probably Levy, right? I mean, that's usually would be his job.
Yeah.
To deliver something like that. Come on, man.
I mean, maybe he just misspoke.
He had a 94-yarder last year.
Maybe he meant to say year, because it is the longest run of the year for Derrick Henry.
Yeah, that's a pretty big distinction there.
Well, it is.
He's not a rookie.
It is. They did call Josh Allen, Ryan Tannehill a few times last night and called Ryan Tannehill Josh Allen. So
really?
It was that. Okay. I mean, they both wear 17.
Okay.
Both quarterbacks.
That happens. The making a big claim on a huge fact error, I have a bigger problem with.
I said on Twitter, I hope Derrick Henry's having a nice pancake breakfast at Cracker Barrel this morning. He's earned it. Jason replying, dude probably hasn't had a carb in 15 years. I don't know. He's pretty big. Like, I don't know how you stay that big and not eat carbs, at least a little bit.
I think he bites the heads off chickens, man. I don't know. I mean,
he can eat like 4,000 calories a day, probably.
I mean, like, or he has like, you know, the raw eggs, just an entire dozen raw eggs in the morning before running 18 miles uphill, you know?
Both ways.
Yeah, exactly. Guy's unbelievable.
Tomorrow it's your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores a goal in the game tomorrow, you win a 4-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. Participate tomorrow morning at 9:45. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans when we come back. We welcome more of your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.